Hello everyone, I'm an addict named Mark.
Mark.
Welcome to the Men's Rap Willingness and Humility Speaker Meeting. Will you please help me open with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Could we have the reading of Who is an Addict at the podium, please?
Addict named Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Who's an addict? Most of us don't have to think twice about this question. We know. Our whole life of thinking the center runs in one form or another, to getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. And essentially, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. There are people in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness.
Could we have the reading, what is the NA program?
Doug and Addict.
Hey Doug. Hey Doug.
NA is a non-profit fellowship for the society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help keep others stay clean. This is a program of complete absence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership, the desire to solve people. Suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is they work. There are no strings attached in them. We are not affiliated with any other organization. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone who may join us, regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of this. We are not interested in what or how much you use or who your connections were, or what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. Newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay.
Thanks, Doug. Could we have the reading, why are we here?
Matt and Andrew.
Andrew.
Why are we here? We're coming to the fellowship today to not manage our lives, to not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different. We saw that chronic and drugs, a place we used to have the welfare of our families, our wives, our husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. Many people create harm, but most of all, we harm ourselves. Throughout our inability to accept personal responsibility for the reaction to creating our own problems, we seem to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realize that in our addiction, we are slowly committing suicide, but addiction is such a current enemy of life that we lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help throughout medicine, religion, psychiatry. None of these methods were sufficient for us, and we need to always researchers, but continue to progress until in desperation we sought help from each other in our products and armies. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffered from a disease which there is no known cure. Can, however, be arrested at some point in recovery if then possible.
Could we have the reading of why, how it works, please?
I'm Andrew, I'm at it.
Andrew.
How it works. If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. These are the principles that made our recovery possible. One, we admitted we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our will, our lives, and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we are entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, we humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, we made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, we continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This sounds like a big order and we can't do it all at once. We didn't become addicted in one day, so remember, easy does it. There is one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery. This is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. Three of these that are indispensable are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. With these, we are well on our way. We feel that our approach to the disease of addiction is completely realistic, for the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. We feel that our way is practical, for one addict can best understand and help another addict. We believe that the sooner we face our problems within our society and everyday living, just that much faster do we become acceptable, responsible, and productive members of that society. The only way to keep from returning to active addiction is not to take that first drug. If you're like us, you know that one is too many and 1,000 is never enough. We put great emphasis on this, for we know that when we use drugs in any form or substitute one for another, we release our addiction all over again. Thinking of alcohol as different from other drugs has caused a great many addicts to relapse. Before coming to NA, many of us viewed alcohol separately, but we cannot afford to be confused about this. Alcohol is a drug. We are people with the disease of addiction and must abstain from all drugs in order to recover.
Thanks, Andrew. Could we have the reading of the 12 traditions, please?
Fanatic, my name is Vito.
Vito.
The 12 traditions of NA, we keep what we have only with vigilance. And just as freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps, so freedom for the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. The loving God is He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants that do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Six, an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. That's problems of money, property, or prestige that divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every NA group ought to be fully self-supported, declining outside contributions. Eight, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. Ten, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Understanding these traditions comes slowly over a period of time. We pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups. It usually isn't until we get involved with service that someone points out that personal recovery depends on NA unity, and that unity depends on how well we follow the traditions. 12 traditions of NA are non-negotiable. They are the guidelines to keep our fellowship alive and free. By following these guidelines in our dealings with others and society at large, we avoid many problems. That is not to say that our traditions eliminate all problems. We still have to face difficulties as they arise, communication problems, differences of opinion, internal controversy, and troubles with individuals and groups outside the fellowship. However, when we apply these principles, we avoid some of the pitfalls. Many of our problems are like those that our predecessors had to face. Their hard-won experience gave birth to the traditions, and our own experience has shown that these principles are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were formulated. Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together. It is only through understanding and application that they work.
Thanks for reading. Could we have the reading Union Recover, please?
My name's Calvin. I'm an addict.
Hey, Calvin.
When at the end of the road, we find we can no longer function as human beings, either with or without drugs. We all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thanks, Calvin. Ooh. Could we have the reading just for today?
I'm Jacob, an addict.
Hey, Jake.
Just for today, tell yourself, just for today, my cause to know my recovery limits and enjoy life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me, that wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will travel forward to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to give a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be overthrowing. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
All right, everyone. I'm Mark, and I'm an addict. I would like to introduce our speaker for the men's rap on willingness and humility. This gentleman's name is Joe M. from the One Disease, One Program group of NA in the capital area of NA.
I'm an addict named Joe. I'd like to take care of a little business before we start. Is there anybody in this room with 90 days or less who doesn't have one of these and would like one? Anybody? Is there anybody in here that doesn't have one of these and would like one? You're going to save me $10. I do that at every time I'm asked to share. I've done that for the past 20 years. I've always had a taper. I don't know what to do with this one. I know you're all going to say, well, I got it on my phone. Your phone doesn't work here. This does. Come and get it. It's yours. There, that was easy. If the rest of this goes as easy as that, I'm fucked. I am from the capital. I'm going to try to stand up here. I got a very bad ankle. I am from the capital area, and contrary to popular belief, that is not Steeler country. It's Harrisburg. I know a lot of people up here think that Pittsburgh is the capital of the state, but it really isn't. We have a great, great recovery down there. And I am one of the people that have been fortunate enough to get clean down there instead. I don't say this for any other reason than to tell anybody who's here for the first time, you don't ever have to go back out there again. My home group is One Disease, One Program. And I joined that home group for a reason. I went to one rehab and I stay here for over 21 years. I know that's not the norm. I'm a freak. There aren't many of me in this business. Probably 99% of the people in here can't say that. But you never have to use again. My topic is willingness and humility. It starts on day one. My first NA meeting, I had to show a lot of willingness to stand up and humble myself to walk across the room and get that white keypad. I had to be able to tell people who I was and what I was all about. It tells us in our literature, if you want what we have to offer, and are willing to make the effort to get it, you're ready to take certain steps. Willingness starts. When it says certain steps, it doesn't mean you're ready to work the 12 steps. It means you're ready to do some things. The things that I was taught and the things I was told to do when I got here were real simple. Go to meetings, get a home group, get a sponsor. Now we're going to work the steps and get in service. They attached the word work to service when I got here. And I wasn't willing to do any fucking work. I just wanted to come in here, shut up, not say a word. Just sit back in the back of the room and not let anybody know I was here. That didn't happen. When I walked into an NA meeting with 30 days clean, everybody in the room looked at me and said, we saw you on television tonight. I was the lead-off story on the 6 o'clock news. The FBI was on me. My anonymity was blown. I didn't have the willingness to stay there. I wanted to run like hell. But a guy told me to sit down and shut up. Pay attention. Maybe you'll learn something here that can help you in your endeavors. willingness. When I started the steps, I wanted to start the steps my first day. So let's get them the fuck out of the way in the next 12 weeks and we don't have to deal with them no more. My sponsor took me outside this church and there were 14 cement steps leading up to the top, up to the street. And he said, you want to do the 12 steps in 12 weeks? Yeah, that shouldn't be that hard. He said, all right, here's what you're going to do. You're going to run up them steps, them 14 cement steps, as fast as you can run. You've got the willingness to do what I asked you to do. I ran up them steps as fast as I could run. I got about halfway up, trip fell, hurt both knees, he laughed like hell. He said, that's exactly what's going to happen to you if you run through the steps. You're going to fall and hurt yourself. I got real humble on them steps and my knees bleeding. I understood what he was talking about. When we did finally start the steps, he let me know that willingness and humility was in every one of them. Every one of them. The first step tells us that we are powerless. That's bullshit, I said. I'm not powerless over nothing. He said, all right, let's think about this. Why are you sitting in this room? Why are you in Narcotics Anonymous? I'm hiding from the cops. No, that's not why you're here. I was in Narcotics Anonymous for a reason. I wanted to live. That's something else we got to be willing to do here. We got to be willing to live. We were willing to kill ourselves every day. But it takes a hell of a lot of willingness to want to live. We were talking before the meeting about any addict can get clean. And that's a fact. But not every addict can stay clean. That's also a fact. You have to be willing to do some things here. When I was told that service had that four-letter word attached to it, called work. I didn't come here to work. But it's not work. Service to our fellow addicts is selfless and it's helping those people. I've done service work since I had 60 days clean. My first service commitment was making the coffee at my home room. I did that for 2 years. We had a Mr. Coffee and I sat beside that coffee pot and guarded it. That was mine. Nobody else was getting to make that coffee. That I showed up an hour before the meeting just so I was the only one making coffee. And I was told after 2 years, Joe, we need you to give that commitment up and do something else. No, that's mine. No, you gotta give it up and do something else. I said, all right, I'm going to train the person that takes over. How do you train someone to run a Mr. Cop? Yeah, I mean, but that was me. That was my ego. I wasn't willing to admit that anybody else could make coffee but me. I got real humble the next meeting when there was a damn good pot of coffee sitting there when I got here. He can do it. We all can do these things if we want to. Back to step one, powerlessness. What is the opposite of powerlessness? It's power. How in the hell do we get power? It's real simple. Knowledge is power. The more knowledge you got, the more powerful you are. Whether you want to admit it or not, up here you're really fucking smart. We are some of the smartest people in the world because we got away with shit for a lot of fucking years and nobody knew it. I have a story that I'll get to a little later that I got away with for years and nobody knew it until I showed up on television. I've read the literature. The literature meant more to me than anything, because I was told by an old timer with about 18, 19 years clean. He said to me, if you learn about Narcotics Anonymous and you understand that the first 103 pages of that basic text will save your life, you're going to have that power. The second thing he told me is, after you do that, now you got to learn how to be a human being and treat other people human. I didn't know if I was willing to do that. I honestly didn't. I was one of them street people. I walked into Narcotics Anonymous out of an abandoned car. That was my home. And I weighed 121 pounds when I walked into my rehab at the VA hospital in Lebanon. I love to eat. I gained that 121 pounds weight. Once I started understanding the literature, once I started really absorbing the literature, I started going to literature meetings. I believe in step and tradition meetings, because that's where the power is. We also, in the town I got clean in, only had four meetings. We didn't have all them readings you just heard. We had one of these. This is my original. I got this the first day I walked into a meeting. We only had this. We didn't know anything else but this. And when I went to a meeting one time out of our area, and they had these big fancy flashcards, I said, where the fuck did you get that from? I thought they had somebody in their home group made them. No, you can buy them at World. Damn. So I did. I bought some. The home group was just proud as shit. We had flashcards now. We didn't have to buy little white books, because we gave them out like they were candy. We wanted to spread the message. We wanted people to be willing to read our literature and come back. How do they do that if they don't have it? That's why I give literature away every time I'm asked to speak. I want people to understand this program. I want people to understand what I understand. That any addict can get clean. And I'm a firm believer that if you really want to, and that's the key word, want to, any addict can stay clean. You have to be willing to accept some suggestions. And I'm going to give you a suggestion right now that probably you never heard in your life, but I'm going to tell you. You don't have to stay clean for the rest of your life. Nobody in this room has to stay clean for the rest of their life. Quit mind fucking yourself and saying, I can't do this for the rest of my life. You don't have to. You got to stay clean today. This is the only day you have to stay clean. Today. Brains go. My brain went when I heard that. What about tomorrow? How many of you in here have ever woke up tomorrow? When I wake up, it's today. When do I got to stay clean? Today. And I stay clean today for over 21 years. I've never stayed clean tomorrow. And I've never stayed clean yesterday. Because I can't. It's impossible. I can only stay clean today. So we got some power back, we read this literature, and we are not as powerless as we were. Then we moved on to step two, and we really had to get humble there and admit that we were fucking insane. That's a hell of a thing for somebody to have to do. I'm not insane. That's what I told the people that told me I had to do step two and I was insane. No. Yes, Joe, you are. What did you do every day of your life before you got here? Tried to kill myself by putting that shit in me every time I woke up. I got high today, so why not stay clean today? I didn't know what it was like not to be high. In 1969, I'm an old guy, I'm 76 years old. In 1969, I was addicted to Rolling Stone magazine, and in the back of it, there was a cartoon called The Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers. And whatever they said, I believed. They were my guru. I believed them because they were dopers. In 1969, in June, with booze you lose, with dope there's hope. I quit drinking in June of 1969. I wanted a little hope in my life. I didn't get any, but I thought I did because they told me I would. I was willing to do something that a fucking cartoon told me. Why not be willing to do something that people around me who had substantial free time were telling me to do? So yeah, I had to be willing and humble to admit that I was insane and that a power greater than me could return me to sin. What is that power? Some people say it's God. Some say it's Jesus Christ. Some say it's HP. Some people say it's the runes. I had to start out that way. It's the runes. Because I wasn't a God person. I am today, but I wasn't then. I had to start out with, the runes are my power. So if I go there every day, I should keep that power up. And I get returned to sanity. I still do 6-7 meetings every week. And I've done that the whole time I've been doing. My first 500 or 400 days clean, I went to 500 meetings. Because I was scared to death not to go. Because I thought I would lose it all. I wouldn't have nothing. I came back the next day broken. But it didn't work that way. So in step three, we have to admit that we need that power greater than us. We have to admit that. We have to tell ourselves, you need HP, God, Jesus Christ, Allah, whoever the hell you want to pray to. But you need that person, that entity, whatever it is, because you can't do this without some sort of power greater than yourself. So in step one, we came. In step two, we came to. In step three, we came to believe. Now we're going to move on to what I call the freedom step. Step four. Everybody freaks out about that step, but you got to be willing to do them all in order. Step four to me freed me of all the pain, the agony, the twisted shit that was up here. I got very, very humble when I did my first four step. Very humble. In step five, you gotta really be willing to share that with another human being and a power greater than yourself. I have a sponsor who I think is the greatest sponsor in the world. And if you don't think your sponsor is the greatest sponsor in the world, you damn sure better get another one. Because I've had the same sponsor for 20 years. I've told him stuff in my first workshop that another human being has never heard. I was willing to let him hear. 18 years later, nobody has still heard what was in my first workshop. He has never told a soul. That's why I think he's the greatest sponsor in the world. So we went from 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. 6 and 7. There we go. We gotta get willing again. We gotta admit that we are defective. And the bad part about us being defective, we can't turn ourselves back into Walmart and get a better product. We got to fix what we got. How do we fix what we got? By asking God to remove these defects. Humility. You got to really be humble to ask God how to do that. How do we get rid of these defects? I asked an old timer, his name was Marvin, he was passed on. Marvin had 23 years or something like that when I asked him. And I said, Marvin, how did you get rid of your defects? He said, I didn't have a solution. I didn't know what to do. So I wrote each one of them down on a separate piece of paper as they came to me. And I fold them up and I put them in a Walmart bag and I tied it shut and I sat it out on the curb for the trash man to come take them. Sound like a hell of a good idea to me. So I did that. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm in that fucking bag taking some of them back because I wasn't ready. I just couldn't see giving them all up at one time. I still have some defects. In steps 7, we got shortcomings. I have a ton of them. I was asked one time, what do you think the difference between a defect and a shortcoming? And I thought for a minute, in my twisted mind, I got a real twisted mind. I said, well, to me, a defect is thinking of robbing the bank. A shortcoming is acting on it. That's how I define defects and shortcomings. Defects are within, shortcomings, I feel, are acting out on those defects. That's just me. It may not work for you, but it worked for me. Then we get to 8. Everybody's afraid of 8. I was terrible. And I start writing down all the people I'd harmed. I damn near filled a spiral notebook because I used for 40 years, so I harmed a lot of people. Family especially. My family, every one of them, had a Joe pad installed in their sidewalk. When I stepped on it, all the lights went out, the doors locked. They didn't want me in their house because I thought everybody's house was a yard sale. And I could take whatever I wanted and leave an IOU. And I did that to everybody. Everybody. I have a brother and 2 sisters who do not believe I have one day clean. They will never accept that I stop using and stop robbing people. They don't believe it. So that's something I have to live with. I can't make them believe me, so I just moved on. Then I got to that ugly step. 9. You got to get real humble. Willing to do it and humble to do step 9. Because you got to face people. You got to knock on people's doors and tell them what you did. I had to knock on my brother who was a minister that doesn't talk to me and doesn't believe I'm clean. I had to knock on his door and hand him $700 because I robbed his church. I knew it was you. He slammed the door in my face. That's the last words my brother and I spoke. That's 17 years ago. But I humbled myself and did it. Another thing that I had to do in my 9 steps, I had to figure out how you make amends to somebody that died. My mother was blind. Her husband died. I moved into her driveway so I could help her with her finances. Yeah. I convinced her, now I made to myself, that she needed a MAC card so I could help her with her finances. I helped her out all her money. Now I got to make amends for that. I got to do something for a dead person. How? I haven't a clue. My sponsor asked me, what did your mother like about? She loved the senior citizen center. When's her birthday? July 10th. On July 10th, go there and make a cash donation in her name. I did that for 10 years. Whether or not I paid my mother back, I doubt. But I made amends. Some are harder than others. That was real difficult. Then I had children that I walked out on in 1979 because they were hungry and wanted something to eat, and I had enough money to get one for me. I left. Gone. Never to talk to them again. In 2002, I get a phone call from a woman. I didn't recognize the voice, and I said, "Who is this?" "Dad, it's Jill." It was my daughter. I had to sit down. I hadn't talked to her since 79. I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah. I talked to Aunt Judy. She told me you're not using again. I would like you to come to my house for Easter dinner." "Great. Where do you live?" "Didn't know." I went there with no expectations. Knocked on the door, walked in. My son and my stepson was there. There was five kids running around. "Who are they?" "They're your grandchildren." I didn't know I had one, I had five. I had to get humbled that day. Really had to get humbled that day. I sat down and these kids come up to me. "Who are you?" These kids do. "I'm your pack." "No, we got one of them. Who are you?" And I thought for a minute and I said, "Today, I'm the luckiest man in the world. I got to meet you guys." So for the next 8, 9, 10 years, I was packing luck for these kids. Today, I'm just packed. But I had to make amends. So since 2002, on their birthdays, on Christmas, whatever, I take them out to eat. I see them all the time. I just took a granddaughter out Thursday night for her 24th birthday. She cost me a ton of money because she's a hog, but I took her out for her birthday. Two people eating at one restaurant, $147? That's fucking nuts. But that's my daughter, or my granddaughter. She likes to eat. She looks something like that. I like this. So we got rid of 9, now we're going to do 10. 10 is one of them steps that we need to do and we should do. I never understood it. I never really got it right, but I try. I really try with 10 and 11 and 12. 12 is the simple one. Carry the message. That's the easy one of those three. I call them the maintenance sets. Because they maintain my green time every time I'm at 10, 11, and 12. They're the maintenance sets. I got willing to do a lot of stuff in this program. I got willing to do things I probably never should. I just switched areas. Because the area I was in for 20 years, they knew that if nobody stepped up, Joe would do it. So when I finally left the area, I was the area chair, the area secretary, the area treasurer, the H&I coordinator, the panel leader for the men's prison, and the panel leader for White Deer Run Woman's Side. That's fucking insane. But I did them. I did them for 2 years. And finally I said, "Look, gang, somebody in the Lebanon Valley area of the Narcotics Anonymous has to step up to the plate because Joe's going elsewhere." And I did, I moved. And I went to a home group that I really love. It's one disease, one program, and we do a step one Wednesday, a tradition the next. When we get to the 12th step, and the 12th tradition, we start over. And we do it out of it works out a lot. Because it's really one of those informative books that help you understand the steps and conditions. There was a meeting I went to for 10 or 11 years on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock at the Good Samaritan Hospital in Lebanon, Concepts. something you don't hear about. There's probably some people here that haven't a clue what the 12 concepts are. There's something that you need to know about, because it helps us understand the inner workings of this program. I have a problem today. I have some pet peeves that really I'm trying to deal with. I'm trying to be willing to accept them, and I'm trying to show some humility by not freaking out in every meeting I go to. And it's that stupid little thing that we stick up to our fucking ear, or we sit in a meeting and do this. And if you approach somebody after the meeting, why do you got that thing in your hand? Whatever come out of that thing, it's going to save your life. But if you listen, something might come out of the people that are sharing in this meeting that will save your life. And the old throwback is, I was following along with the readings. Well, I follow along with the readings too. I got a whiteboard. I call it a meeting in the fire. It doesn't disturb anybody sitting beside you. It doesn't disrupt the meeting. And there's no lights on. Because when I'm sitting next to somebody and that light's on, guess what? I could give a fuck less what's going on. I'm trying to see what the hell they're saying to somebody. And I'm not the only one that does that. So let's avoid that. Let's keep that. My phone has not left the center console of my car since I got here. I'm staying in a hotel. I didn't take it in the hotel room last night. I'm on a spiritual retreat. I retreated from that fucking phone. They call them cell phones for a reason. They hold you prisoner. Think about it. I introduce myself a lot in meetings as a BC addict before cell phones, because I am. When I got clean, if you pulled one of them things out, laid them on the table, somebody took it from you. And you didn't get it back till the meeting was over. If you got it back then, maybe they'd hold it till the next meeting, it's like here, after the meeting. Another pet peeve that I have is watching people try their damnedest to finish the steps before they're clean. And that happens a lot. A lot. I'm hearing people share, well, I got 4 months clean and I just started my sixth step. How? You're fucking green and smart enough to do one. There's a lot of cobwebs and fog up there. You got to get humble. You got to be willing to understand that this isn't a race. There's no race here. We're not trying to beat the other guy at the top, because you're going to wind up with bloody knees like I did for trying to beat the other guy at the top. You have to want to do this. That's the big key to this program. You have to want to do this. This program isn't for people that need it. It's for people that want it. If this program was for everybody that needed it, we wouldn't have rooms big enough to hold a fucking meeting. We'd have to rent stadiums, football fields. Because there are a certain few of us that are fortunate enough to wind up here. It's Saturday night. Where the hell are you? You're sitting in a room with a bunch of fucking guys. How intelligent is that? But we have to be willing to do that to stay clean. When I got here tonight, sitting here, I started getting nervous, thinking, how the hell am I going to talk to people? There's some clean time in this program, in this weekend here. How about clean time? And I'm trying to think, how am I going to do this, talk to these people? An old timer named Larry W. He just celebrated 41 years in October. He told me one time, Joe, when you're in a meeting, look at one person and think of them as naked. There ain't no fucking way I'm doing that in this room. Now, that ain't happening, people. Love is one of the key factors. I had somebody tell me, well, I'm going to love you, you learn to love yourself. I said, that's going to be forever. Now, I look in the mirror today, and I say, thank you for waking me up. Thank you for giving me this person who's looking back at me. I told you I came here 121 pounds. I love to eat. I've had people tell me, well, Joe, at your age, aren't you worried about your health? No. If I was worried about my health, I wouldn't have stuck shit in my arm for 40 years. I told you earlier, I'm going to tell you why I was the lead-off story on the 6 o'clock news. I'm sitting in rehab down in Lebanon at the VA hospital. There was a bunch of us in there from Harrisburg. We watched the 6 o'clock news every night. And we're sitting there, and the first face on television is mine. And underneath it's my name, and they're reading the story. This guy stole $196,000 worth of Viagra, and the FBI is looking for him. And that's a true story, I did. And I had to go to court a bunch of times. And every time I showed up in court, the TVs were there sticking in microphones in my face, cameras and shit. And I would just ignore them. And one day, I wasn't in the ignoring mood. And this little lady from CBS walked up to me and stuck that microphone in my face and asked me a real stupid question. And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, I didn't kill anybody. I just made a lot of dicks hard. Let me the fuck alone. That didn't get put on TV or in the newspaper. And they quit coming to court. Hell, I should have said that the first week. But those are the kinds of things that we do. I didn't mean to do it. I have never been able to find out who she was so I can make amends to her, because I don't know who she is. She's there just all befuddled, red, stuttering. One thing that I need to tell you, I love this program. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I love these spiritual retreats. I didn't know this thing existed for 25 years. I'm down in Harrisburg all stupid. A couple of weeks ago, 2 months ago, this little girl named BJ, who's here, told me about this thing. I said, send me the flyer. I read it, shit, I'm going. Just to see what it was all about. If I don't die between now and next year, I'll be here. Because I really had a great time, and it's because of you. And I want to thank you all for letting me do this, for making me feel welcome. And if no one told you they love you today, Joe loves each and every one of you. Thanks for having me.